Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm really happy to see you all here today on this beautiful Mother's Day. I have a few announcements. One, you may notice that when I'm out and about amongst you, I'm wearing a mask. That's because if I get sick between now and graduation, I can't go to graduation. So please don't come to church sick. At least for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Thank you. But speaking of graduation, I will be graduating on May 27th, and Session and Deacons are putting on a potluck to celebrate my graduation on the 22nd after worship. And I would just love so much to see you all there to help me celebrate this momentous occasion that has taken forever. I would invite you all to graduation, but I only get 6 tickets. It will be live streamed though, and I will put out the link to that, to the graduation live stream. We can even talk about having a watch party if you really want to do that. So I'm going to actually turn it over to Cliff, because Cliff has some important news about our property.
Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all your mothers out there. It's wonderful to have you here today. I don't know, I know everyone doesn't necessarily email, but let me give you kind of a summary of the situation. So we've been kind of keeping an eye on water in the basement, and yesterday morning it was very apparent that this was not the typical situation in the basement, and it looked like we had about 5 feet of water in the basement. As a result of that, we called 911, and they dispatched the Undercliff Fire Department to come out here. They came out here around 10:30. They used 2 big pumps to pump things down as far as it could with those pumps. And then when they left 2 small electric pumps that have been pumping. That's why you see the hoses in the front and the back. We're kind of at a point now where water's still coming in, but these pumps have got it checked. So, the situation with the rains, the ground being saturated, and the creek coming up is the cause of this problem. This has been a traditional problem we've had, and we're going to look very hard to find a better solution, because this is it's not a good situation to have this continually happen. So as a result of that, the other thing we're concerned about is that in the basement here we have 2 boilers. I'm pretty certain that one of the boilers was probably definitely affected by the water. I don't know about the other one, and that's why there's no heat in here today. So I'm thankful that it's 60 degrees in here, not 30 or something like that, like the last time this happened. I appreciate you coming dressed and warm, and we'll keep you up to date as we go on here. We're going to see about whether we need to call them back out to get the water down further or just let these current pumps work. So want to give you an update about that. The other thing I want to do is give a thanks to Roy Weckler and his son-in-law. This last week, they helped change this light up here. That's not an easy thing to do. So, thanks a lot, Roy, and your son-in-law for helping us out. And now we know what light bulbs go up there. That's why he says, you go, well, what do you need to fix that with? Fortunately, we had one replacement, so hopefully we'll get some more and we'll take care of that. Anyway, that's the update, so stay tuned. We'll keep you informed as necessary. Thanks.
I think we should have just let the water stay and turn it into a pool and charge admission. But nobody else liked that idea. So, were there any other announcements? Anything I should make the congregation aware of? Okay. With that, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Come, children. God is calling us, gathering us, covering us with hope-filled wings. Come, children. Rest against our beloved's breast, nurtured and nourished on the milk of love and kindness. Let us rise in body and spirit, or spirit, to join together in our opening hymn, Mother in God, You Gave Me Birth. Siblings, we come to confession not to wallow in our guilt, but because we know change starts with being honest. So in a desire to grow and change, let us confess our sins to our loving God. O Mother God, who loved us into being, we, your children, praise you. When we fall, you lift us up. When we fail, you restore us. When we are wounded, you nurse us. When we grieve, you weep with us. When we celebrate, you laugh with us. But sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we are slow to forgive those who have let us down. Sometimes we condemn ourselves for past failings and don't reach out to you because we are embarrassed. Forgive us our doubt, resentment, unforgiving hearts, and self-condemning attitudes. Friends, in spite of our failures in sin, God says to us, "You are my chosen ones. I love you. I am proud of you. Know that I have forgiven you. I call you by name. You are mine. Dare to live fully the life to which I have called you." Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Oh, okay. Friends, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
I have a quick footnote that I wanted to mention. First of all, Undercliff Fire Department's a volunteer fire department, and it's a blessing to have them in our community that help us out. The other remarkable thing about the crew of 4 to 5 people that were here yesterday, one of the firemen was Chris Mellinger. He came here as a kid. It was in Sunday school. So he said it was a very odd situation to be back here, but it was great to see one of the Mellingers help us out.
That was very special. All right. Now we should prepare ourselves for the choir's anthem. Let us now gather together our prayers of concern and joy. Please pray with me. Loving God, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and to celebrate the gift of your love and wisdom, a love that supports, nurtures, and challenges us in ways that strengthen and transform us. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives and all of the blessings that you so generously offer us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for the mothers the world over. We give thanks for all of those who have nurtured and cared for us, remembering especially birth mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, and all women who have shared their faith with us. We pray, compassionate God, for those mothers who have been hurt, disillusioned, or disappointed in their role as mother. We pray for those who have been denied a longed-for chance at motherhood, and for those whose years of mothering have been cut short by the loss of a child. We lift up before you, O God, the members of our human family around the world, for those who are afflicted or suffering at this time, for those who need healing, for those who require bread or shelter, for those who live in violent homes and communities, for those who are grieving, and for those whose needs are known to you alone. We especially pray for those affected by war and displacement in Ukraine, and people affected by natural disaster, especially those in northern New Mexico, as the Hermit's Peak and Calf Canyon fires rage on. We give you thanks, Creator God, for the prayers you have heard and the loving embrace with which you sustain us. We especially give thanks for the Undercliff Volunteer Fire Department, who pumped over 5 feet of water from our basement, continuing to provide them with the strength and compassion to serve and keep your people safe. Holy Mother of us all, touch us with your healing peace and gentle embrace, that we may walk in your ways and bring dignity, justice, and peace to all corners of your world. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit and join in the hymn of meditation for all the faithful women, number 324.
Thank you.
seated. We've come to the time in our service where we return in joyful thanksgiving all that we have received to give our tithes and offerings so that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. Nurturing God, we are like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season and prosper in you. We are grateful for all that you have provided, and we dedicate our first fruits to you and to the work of your church now and forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A capable wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes him linen garments. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchant with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Mother God, your word is our wisdom. It gives us insight, strength, and courage. Open our hearts and minds on this day that we might receive what you want to give. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. Amen. Every so often, I get a little curious and I look around help wanted pages like Indeed or just LinkedIn or, you know, some of those other places that have help wanted ads, just to you sort of see what's out there, maybe kind of affirm this calling, see what I'm missing out on. I don't know. I came across a really interesting job posting a while back, and it really stood out to me quite a bit. And the job title was Director of Operations. So basically, this is a position for a chief operating officer or CFO. They have a direct relationship to the associates, and those associates require just a lot of attention. So this is a pretty detailed help wanted ad. So this position requires a lot of stamina and mobility. There's standing and bending and lifting for most of the time that you're working. Multitasking is imperative because this is a really chaotic environment. And that's because the associates can be a little unpredictable, sometimes volatile. So it requires some strong communication, negotiation, conflict management, interpersonal skills. Those things are imperative. They listed something about degrees in medicine, personal finance, culinary arts or nutrition, engineering, education, psychology, information technology, interior design, event planning, and administration. All those types of degrees are preferable, but really, there's no experience necessary. Then they get into the hours. The position requires the applicant to be on duty about 135 hours a week. There are no vacation days, very few breaks. And you must be available to the associates at the drop of a hat 365 days a year. And once you sign on, this is a lifetime commitment. Holidays? Yes, there are holidays, but you will actually be working twice as hard on days like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, and you must have a happy disposition while you're doing that. They say that there isn't really a possibility of advancement in this position, but I know some people who have had this position and they feel that they have had some advancement. I don't know. But regardless, even though there isn't technically advancement, the applicant is expected to regularly update their skills, engage in continuing education. There's no benefits. There's no health, dental, 401k, pension, no tuition reimbursement, no stock options. You won't get a whole lot of feedback, except for the feedback and the constant judgment that you get from family, friends, and society at large. The last, most up-to-date salary information that I could find for this position was from 2019, and at that time, this position was like this was valued at about $178,000 a year. But this position does not have a salary. However, if it's done well, the applicant will receive meaningful connections, joy in helping the associates, limitless supplies of hugs, and personal growth. I'm hoping that you have guessed by now that this is the job description for a mother. And I want to be really careful here. Mother's Day is difficult for so many people. People who've had abusive parents or estranged from their children, mothers who've experienced miscarriages or have had to bury their children, people who have lost their moms, especially if that loss has been recent, women who have tried everything imaginable to become a mom, and women who have done everything imaginable to avoid being a mother. So this is a day that can be fraught with a lot of emotion, and it's not all positive. But you must admit that job description is certainly what we have come to expect of moms. And by extension, all women. There are some pastors who will get in front of their congregations today because it's Mother's Day and use Proverbs 31 to just sentimentalize women and preach about how we should just thank God and these women for all that they do. And we should. But from the other side of their mouth, some of these churches also actively fight against women in the pulpit and in church governance, or even public places of power. And may heaven help you if you reject any of those traditional roles of wife, mother, and subservient member of the community, or even mention the thought of equal rights. And this passage has often been used to tell women that in order to feel good about herself and to live up to God's expectations, she must constantly strive for overachievement and perfection. To avoid judgment, she must be industrious, a respected household manager, a wonderful mother, a supportive wife, accomplished artisan, successful business person, a wise teacher, a prudent planner, and a tireless worker. Sounds exhausting. When I read through Proverbs 31, I am exhausted. All of those things, that is what a woman is supposed to do. All of those things? Sounds a lot like our culture. You know, our culture just pressures us again and again to overfunction. And women have been taking on more and more roles and responsibilities, feeling like they're not doing enough. Because honestly, this job description is unattainable. Maybe there are some people out there who think it's uplifting, but it often serves to demoralize many women who think they have to be everything to everyone in order to be a faithful witness to God. And I think that this passage has been greatly misinterpreted and misused. I'm not saying that we should throw it out. We definitely should not throw it out. It belongs in here. But there is not a single person, woman or man, who has all of these admirable traits, characteristics, and accomplishments. This passage isn't about a singular woman, or even about women at all. Rather, it's describing the anthropological attributes of wisdom, of woman wisdom. This is the embodiment of wisdom. There are a few clues in here that tell us why this is so. First, this is another one of those Hebrew acrostic poems. So each line begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph to Tau. Aleph to Tau. other way. When we see those types of acrostic poems, we're supposed to understand that the contents are about comprehensiveness. It's a descriptor of completeness. And they're not usually about human beings. Mm-hmm. Secondly, these attributes match up with other Hebrew poems that are about personified wisdom. The woman described here is not a mere mortal. And also, wisdom isn't just about obtaining knowledge and enlightenment. Rather, wisdom is about a life well lived, a life disciplined by daily decisions, a lifetime of obedience to God. These values of wisdom that are embedded within the scripture, these sustain our lives, our minds, our bodies, and our souls. And it speaks to the patterns of life that include things like trust and integrity in our relationships, sacrifice, providing for our children, opening our hands to the poor, and doing whatever needs to be done. And while doing all of these things, we should have a sense of humor with it, because really, what's the alternative? And I hope you can see these patterns of life within Glenshaw Valley. Yes, among the men here today too, but especially among the women who sustain this congregation and the wider church. As I pondered this text and I think about it, it really makes me reflect on the women of faith across my spiritual journey. And I invite you to think about those women who have introduced you to God. Ladies, you do not have to be a biological mother to guide someone else's spiritual journey. There are many women who give shape to and form the lives of others through conversations, teaching, and reflecting with people. I am constantly in awe of and inspired by the capable women I've met throughout my life, including right here at Glenshaw Valley. So many women have guided me and shaped me and rooted for me, shown me what's possible. And that's the point. That's the point here. There is no single person, woman or man, who embodies all of these attributes of wisdom. It takes a multitude of people to exemplify the wisdom that has been bestowed by God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our closing hymn, Happy the Home When God Is There. Before we go back into the world, let me offer a blessing. Go into your week knowing that you are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any you have ever known. Amen.